Let's give him a big shout of praise this morning. Siosi Kimberly, praise the Lord. Come on, the Spirit of God is here today. All this life in this place. Come, so like two Hannah langs mekaar, put the hands together, give him a praise. Come, I want you to greet two or three people close to you. Greet them, welcome them, give them a big CRC social distancing safety greeting. While we're standing, let's just welcome all our first-time visitors yet today. Maybe it's your first time back this morning. We want to welcome you. Oh, come on, that's a week welcome. Aren't you excited to see new faces back? We are clapping for the Lord, but we're also welcoming so many of you back again. The church is getting fuller and fuller again. What a blessing it is to stand up here and see, praise God, the church is, the people are back in the house this morning. While you're standing, we want to welcome everybody on social media, watching on YouTube, Facebook, a big shout out and a God bless you to every one of you. Bump your neighbor, tell them they're looking better than last Sunday as you take your seat. It's a bad echo on the stage here. Amen. Amen. I feel like I'm way too far back here. Monitors, there's an echo here. Listen, I hope you're well. I hope you had a good weekend. Are you glad about our sport? Something is major wrong on my stage here. I can't hear myself. Are you glad that the Springboks won the rugby? Are you glad that cricket's won? Ladies, I don't know what sport you watch. You'll have to help us. I can't comment on the soccer this morning, because then I'll be like Moses and split the church like he split the Red Sea, the Kaiser Chiefs supporters and the Orlando Pirates. So I won't comment about the soccer this morning, but we'll because we're preaching good news today. Good news. Amen. Thank you. Monitors are great. I'm blessed, yeah? Are you blessed? I want to tell you, you know, I know it's the end of the year, but there's life here this morning. There's an energy. You can be 85 years of age and you can still have a bounce in your step, a jump, a swag, a energy, life. Who wants to be married to a boring spouse? Come, that's your good time now to bump your neighbor, your husband, your wife. Say, the pastor's speaking to you. You're getting too old. We married for 3 years and you're already getting like an old person. God wants you to stay young, to stay energetic. Whether you're 70, whether you're 90, whether you're 40, 50, 60, 30, 20, God wants you to have the life of God. Amen. It's the life of God that changed. I don't know why everybody has to change the pastor's monitors, but anyway, I'll do my own work this morning. This morning, a short message to encourage you this morning. I want you to know God is on your side and God is fighting for you. Amen. Come, put a smile on. I know for some of you, you haven't smiled since we were allowed to wear these masks and you're so happy about it, but do me a favor this morning. Give a big smile to your neighbor. Let them see it through your eyes. Hey, he turned my mourning into dancing. He turned my sadness into joy. You haven't come to a funeral this morning. You've come to the house of God this morning. Amen. So, this morning, quickly, as we get into the Word of God this morning, the title of my message this morning is, It's My Move. Say it with me. Say, It's My Move. Now, let me give you some background here. You know, what do I mean? But maybe I'm just start. You know, some of you have played chess before. Some of you maybe don't know what chess is, but chess is a well-known game around all over the world. I love to play it. I love to play with my kids. And a few years ago when I was... There we go. There's the game on the screen. It's got a king. It's got a queen. It's got a bishop. So it's very spiritual. It's very biblical. It's the most biblical game you're going to play. Got castles and rooks and horses and you know, a few years ago I went to China, and one of the things I wanted to bring back was a chess set, because they have amazing chess sets in China. And we were walking the whole day around, and I was there, and I finally found the piece that I really wanted to buy, and we put it in, and when we were flying back home, we had to fly via Hong Kong, so we had to change planes, and as we went through customs, it was like, I thought someone had won the jackpot. That's how the noise was going, the sirens were going, the dogs came out, the people came with guns. I thought, shame, this poor guy, he's going to jail. Turns out it was me. What happened was, I didn't know this, but the chess pieces in my chest were made out of lead. Now, that's dangerous. Bullets are made out of lead. So they obviously thought I was a spy or somebody. Thankfully, I quickly explained to them. I said, no, it's just the chess set. And I showed them the chess set, and eventually they let me take it because I didn't want to leave it behind. I mean, it was quite a valuable piece of chess set. So anyway, to cut a long story short, I brought the chess set home, and I was playing with a friend, showing off my beautiful chess set. But I got so caught up in this wonderful chess set that I forgot it was my turn. And the opposition, the person I was playing with, they're waiting. And I'm waiting for them, and they're waiting for me. And so after a long time, thankfully, one of us said something and said, but when are you going to play? And I said, I thought it was your turn. And sometimes in life and our journey with our Christianity, we're waiting for God to move, but He's moved. It's your turn. Come on, bump your neighbor, say, it's my move. It's my turn. It's my time now. I've got to move. I've got to do something. Nothing is going to change until I make my move. Do you understand? That's the beauty of chess. You know, I wish you could play the whole game. I wish you could play all your moves at once, but unfortunately it doesn't happen like that. You have to play and wait. You have to play and wait. You have to move, and then you have to wait, and then you have to play, and then you have to wait, and then you have to sow, and then you have to wait for the harvest, and then you have to step out in faith, and you have to wait, you have to pray, and then you have to wait. It's a great picture of life and our journey with Christianity. But just make sure that you're not waiting and it's actually your move. You're waiting for somebody to get saved in your family, but God's waiting for you to move. It's your move. Amen. Come on, say it with me. Say, it's my move. Come on, watching on media, on social media, say, it's my move. Amen. Sometimes the best move that you and I can make is to engage with somebody. Touch another person's life. You know, Jesus throughout the Bible started conversations. He took the initiative. He took it upon Himself to make the first move. You know, the woman in the well in John chapter 4, verse 7, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Now you can imagine, as you know, perhaps you don't know, the Samaritans and the Jews, they were like Kaiser Chiefs and Orlando Pirates supporters. They don't mix. They don't talk to each other. They don't hang out. They separate. I'm just bringing it into a local context. Okay, I'm not watering down the Bible, I'm just saying context. They were different, almost like the old days in South Africa, apartheid. They were separated. We didn't hang out. Whites didn't mix with black people. Sad. Amen. Thank God it's that evil is gone. Now, it wasn't that extreme here, but the Samaritans and the Jews, they didn't hang out with each other. They were different, but yet God, Jesus specifically, instead of going the other way around, He specifically went through Samaria because God had a plan for Him. Amen. I want to tell you, God's not into your comfort. God doesn't prefer your skin color above other people's skin color. God's not interested in your skin color, your culture, your tradition. That must always come second to Christ and to His purpose and to His call. God loves you more than for you to get caught up in those stuff. It's great to watch sport, but hey, come on, don't let your sport become your king. We love sport, we love fun, but at any moment we put that stuff second. Amen. We should engage with our world. regardless of their culture, their background, their political affiliation, their financial background, their skin color. So Jesus, the Bible says, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus was at the well, waiting there in Samaria, in the wrong place. He shouldn't have been there, because that's not where Jews hang out, but he was there. God led him there. And the woman came, and you can imagine the silence. He has a Samaritan woman, and he has a man at the well, and there's the silence. It's like when you climb into a lift sometimes with people. Have you ever been in a lift, or you've been somewhere, you're stuck in an office, and it's quiet? And everybody looks at their toes, or they look at the sky. There's this awkward silence. You're standing in a row. Is this making sense? So there's the silence, and Jesus takes the initiative. He says to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. Samaritan woman, how can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, said, "If you knew the gift of God who is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Jesus made the first move. Jesus begins to minister. He takes the natural surroundings. He uses the well and the water as an opportunity to start speaking to her. Always look at your surroundings as an opportunity to start the conversation. God wants you to make the first move in the situation. Look at what's around you, use it, apply it, and God will give you the words. He starts to speak about the well and the water, and he says, if you knew what was in front of you, the gift that was in front of you, you would ask me for water. He begins to minister with her. He uses the analogy of the water and the well. Yeah, and then he operates in the gift of wisdom. I want to tell you, when you make a move, the Holy Spirit moves with you. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not only for the home cell, although they must function in the home cell. The gifts of the Holy Spirit have been placed in your life for outside the marketplace, in the school, in the boardroom, in the government department. You must be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, because it's your move now. It's your move. The Holy Spirit will give you a word. He'll give you a word of knowledge. Jesus all of a sudden operates in the gift of wisdom, complete understanding, knows the woman. He says, go call your husband. She says, and he begins to tell her, not judgmentally, not critically like some prophets do, expose the person. No, he just begins to have a conversation, and she discerns, okay, this is not just a man. This is a spiritual man. That's what people must do when they have a conversation with you and you open up your mouth. They must sense, this is not just a woman, this is a spiritual woman. This is not just a Christian, this is not just a religious person who's just quoting a scripture. This is someone with substance who walks with Jesus. That's what God wants you to be. Christian, you can be a lawyer, but you're not just a lawyer, you're a spiritual lawyer. You can be a doctor, but not just a doctor, you're a spiritual doctor. You can be a student and not just a student, a spiritual student. You can be a professional and not just a professional. You're a spiritual professional. Amen. He begins to minister to her. And one encounter with the Savior, her eyes open and everything changes. This woman she receives grace, she receives love, acceptance. Jesus never judges her. And she goes and she causes a revival. She goes back to the house. Just like Peter, just like Andrew did to Peter. He said, come, we found the Messiah. Just like Philip went to call Nathanael, he said, we found the Messiah. She goes back to her city and she says, come, I found a man who's known everything about my life, and he may be the Messiah. Come. And the Bible says the whole city came to follow. Everybody came out to look at this Jew, but he wasn't just a Jew, he's the Messiah. You can be white, you can be black, you can be colored, you can be young, you can be old, but you're not just that, you're a Christian. You're a spiritual man, a spiritual woman. You can relate to everybody. You can't just only relate to those who look like you and talk like you. And so, yeah, in Samaria, a revival breaks out because Jesus began to take the first step. He started the conversation. I want to tell you, how many people are waiting on the other side of our obedience to just take the first conversation. I was cutting my hair yesterday, and there was a young man that I hadn't seen in church in a long time. But I knew I had to make the conversation because we were at stalemate. No one was going to say anything. So I had to talk. I had to start. Many times you'll be in situations where you're going to have to forgive first. You're going to have to smile first. You're going to have to start the conversation. Come on, bump your neighbor. Say, it's my move. It's my move. God's telling us it's my move. It's the church's move. It's the church's hour. It's the Christian's time now. It's the light of the world to shine now. Why are you waiting for the darkness? It's not darkness's time. It's the light's time. It's the anointing's time. It's the Savior's time. It's your time. It's my time to move. Because the world's in a stalemate. The world doesn't have the answers. The church has the answers. Meneer, mevrou, God het 'n plan vir jou lewe. You are here because God has called you. No man can call you. God can call you. Nobody could change this woman who had been with 5 other husbands and already in a 6th relationship. She was searching for something and she never found it until she met a man who never judged her, who loved her, accepted her the way she was. And that's what changed. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. We already know we're messing up. When we come into the church, we shouldn't feel even more condemned. We should feel that my Savior loves me. My God is a God of forgiveness. Everybody's a sinner, man. I don't think you're so important, though special, that you can look down upon somebody. The Bible says that the ground is level at the cross. Every person is accepted because all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have made a mistake. Even Jesus, with that woman where they dragged her out of adultery and they put her there and they told Jesus, come on, the law demands that we stone her, that we kill her. And Jesus said, well, he that has no sin, you cast the first stone. Jesus knew we're all fragile, we're all sinners, we all come short of God's glory and His goodness. Amen. That was the power of the gospel. The Father never chased the prodigal son away. Jesus never chased this woman away. He gave her love, gave her acceptance. This is what God is calling us to be. The church in the 21st century, here in a place called Kimberley, where you and I live, where you go to work, where you go to school, day in and day out. It's your move now. It's your move. Everybody's waiting. Everybody's waiting for something. Everybody's waiting for something. I don't know if they're waiting for a star, a sign, the lotto numbers. I don't know. But everybody's waiting. And God's saying, the Bible even says in Romans 8:19, it says, creation is groaning for the revealing of its sons. Creation is waiting for the true sons and daughters of God to stand up. So Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has already arisen upon you. Come on, tell your neighbor, it's my move. She has an encounter and goes back to a city and changes that whole city. You see the result. Jesus crosses barriers. He breaks all segregation. He's the master unifier. He's the healer. He unites us. While people try to divide us, try to separate us and tell us how different we are, Jesus tells us how similar we are. That we are all sinners. That we all need a Savior. That we all just want love and we all want acceptance. We are all created in the image of God. We all come from one race. The human race. We all hail from Adam. Adam. You cut your skin, there's red blood. You are like me and I'm like you. There's no difference. Jesus is the great unifier. The church in a community should be the greatest reconciliator and the greatest unifier. It should be the beacon of hope, the beacon of light. Its doors should be open and we should have the loudest message in a city. We should be the loudest. We should be the most unapologetic bunch of people on this planet. Because we have the answer. We're not trying the answer. We're not testing for the answer. We have the solution. That's a good time to say amen. Good preaching, Pastor. I mean, heaven and earth are waiting for you. Sometimes you have to move. Sometimes you have to start the conversation. Sometimes you have to reach out. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe you should shout out. It's your move. Shout with a shout of praise. Amen. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Sometimes you have to just praise Him. Heaven is waiting for the saints to praise God. Sometimes you have to shout out. Sometimes you have to break out. Sometimes you have to call out. Sometimes you have to cry out. But you got to know it's your move. It's your move. It's your move this morning. Sometimes you got to reach out. Sometimes you got to jump out. Amen. Sometimes you have to push out, sing out. Come on, it's your move. It's a new day. God moves a steering ship. No, God steers a moving ship. See, I was just checking if you're awake. Listen, I can't change water into wine. Sorry. That's a letdown for some of you. Amen. I can't change water into wine, but I can't save anybody, but I can make the next move. Amen. I can start the conversation. I can't save anybody, but I can tell somebody about the Savior or what, how He saved me. Come on, it's my move. Even the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6, Paul says, I planted. It was my move. Nobody was going to get saved, so I had to plant. And Apollos had to come after me and water. Remember, it's team ministry. You witness to that person. Another Christian walks past 3 days later and waters. Tells them about the goodness of God. Eventually, that person realizes, God is real. God is sending people across my path to get me back to church. To get me back to Him. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. And then we know ultimately it was God who gave the increase. We are co-laborers. We do this together with God. But it was Paul's move. He had to plant. Then it was Apollos' move. Then he had to water. And then God could give the increase. Many times we're waiting, God give us the increase. Help us to grow the home cell. Help us to grow the church. Help us to grow our marriage. Help us to grow our finances. Help us to grow in whatever you want for our lives, Lord. And we're waiting for God. Oh, God. God say, no, somebody has to move us. Somebody has to plant. Somebody has to come and water. And then God can bring the increase. Because He's made it in such a way that you and I are a part of the story. He wants to use you. He doesn't need us, but He uses us in any way. And we may feel unqualified. We may feel not perfect. But I'm not a theologian. I don't know all the Bible scriptures. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Hey, God wants to use you anyway. You may feel you're imperfect. That's exactly why He wants to use you. He wants to prove to the world that you don't have to be perfect. The Bible says not many mighty according to the flesh are called. God wants to brag with His goodness and His grace. He wants people to know that, say, but it was by God's grace. You should know there's no way we could have done it. We know it could have. It had to be God. Amen. John 4:35, Jesus says, don't you have a saying, there's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes, look at the fields, they are ripe for harvest. He's telling them, go, it's your move. It's your move. Don't say it's still 4 months, 4 years. He says, now, today, today's your move. You waiting, and we waiting, and we in stalemate. Nothing is going to change. God says, it's your move. Come on, you need to believe it this morning with your heart and confess it with your mouth. Come on, say it with your pastor. Say, it is my move. No, say it again. Say, it is my move. Yes, God is waiting for me to move. It says, even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life. There's eternal rewards. As you move, there's eternal rewards. How big is your bank account in heaven? How big are your rewards in heaven? Thank God for this world, but I want to tell you, you can be the wealthiest man on this planet. You ain't taking anything with to heaven. Rather be a smart man and build treasures in heaven. Be a soul winner. Yeah, the Bible says he who wins souls is wise. So that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the one saying, one sows, another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefit of their labor. God's saying, listen, you just have to move now. People throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the years have been laboring. All I'm asking for you is to move. You're going to reap all the hard work, but just move. Oh, God, he's so good. Yes, because you obey him. Move. People have labored and worked hard, and people have prayed and interceded over the centuries, over the decades, and yeah, we are coming one of the last generations. I'm not saying we are the last, but one of the last generations coming in, yeah, into Kimberley, coming and just reaping. God just saving people, not because we're special, but because others have sown, and we're just coming in the end to reap. So I'm not going to apologize about it, but we're going to do our part. Amen. Mobilize the church. Engage. Pump your neighbor. Say, you must engage. Not when you phone somebody and it's engaged. Not when you propose to somebody. That's a different engage. I'm saying engage means interact. Touch. Move. Come out of isolation. Get away now. If you have to wear your mask, wear your mask. But engage with the world. It's your move. I mean, there's so many stories here. God has called us to engage. You are different. You're called to touch the broken. You're called to be the light. Matthew 13, verse 33. You want to see a nice picture of you? Jesus thought about you when he shared this scripture. Matthew 13, verse 33, he told them a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. You are the yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour. A little bit of yeast into a large bowl of flour. And she worked it, and she worked it, and she worked it, and she worked it. She kneaded it. And eventually she worked it all through the dough. It spread everywhere. The New Living Translation says, Jesus used this illustration of the church, of the Christians. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast of a woman used in making bread. Even though she put in only a little yeast in 3 full measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. We may be a small group of yeast here this morning, but as we go and engage and touch a broken world, you will see the whole city will begin to smell differently. We'll understand the gospel and the good news. But the thing is, we have to go. It's our move. Jesus wants you to be the yeast of your family, the yeast of your suburb, the yeast of your company, your school, your government department, the university, your dormitory, the yeast of your street. And even though you're a little small amount, and you placed in a large group of thousands of others, he says, things are going to change now. Because the light is always brighter than the darkness. You're going to be mixed in. You're going to catch others. You're going to engage. Because it's your move. They will change. And the city will be permeated. Every part of dough. Every part of the city will be saturated with God's goodness. Because we are called to go. We're called to engage like Jesus did. You're called to start the conversation. Amen. Come on, am I preaching to some Christians here today? Oh, come on, bump your neighbor. Say the pastor's preaching to us today. Psalm 115, 16 to 17 says, the highest heavens belong to the Lord. But the earth is given to mankind. Amen. He's given the earth to us. To rule it and to reign. To make a difference. It's not the dead who praise the Lord. It's those those who go down to the place of silence. It's only us who are called to praise God. Another great example, Jesus comes in contact with quite an intellectual man, a Pharisee. His name was Nicodemus, a Jewish leader. Say, people can't change, Pastor. Even if I go, people don't want to change. I had a conversation this week with a very intelligent man. And he was saying as well, he said, people don't change. And I said, I agree with you, people don't change. But we are called to help them change. We're called to show them how to change. Abraham changed. Jacob changed. Peter changed from a reed to a rock. You changed. I changed. We change. We have God with us. Our nature changes. We acknowledged we needed a Savior. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Pastor, but a leopard doesn't change his spots. Yes, but if he's in Christ, he or she is a new creation. They have a desire to change, they will change. People will change. God will help them change. God says, Malachi 3 verse 6, I'm the Lord, I change not. That's right, but we have to change. God doesn't change, but we change. We change. Any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Yeah, but Pastor, you know, after a while, then I want to just go and do those bad things again. I have the stuff. That's why you need to be planted in a church. That's why you need a new crowd of friends. If you struggle and you're tempted in that area, get away from that place. Get rid of that bad relationship. You need new friends, sir. You need a new community of brothers and sisters. You don't go do that stuff anymore. Some of your wives must push your husbands into new friendships. Godly friendships. Men who don't always have to hang out at the pub till late at night and come home with three other ladies on their arms. Well, not to judge. I'm saying you have to change. People can change. When there's a conviction. It says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. He is a new creation. Ezekiel 11 verse 19 says, I will give them one heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. God can put a new spirit in that person. They got the wrong spirit. They got a spirit of jealousy, hurt, spirit of wrong. God wants to put a new spirit in that person. God wanted to take Peter, who was a reed, influenced, so easily influenced, and God wanted to make him a rock. That's a nature change. God put his spirit in Peter. Even though Peter denied Jesus three times before the cock crowed, we see Peter changed. Maybe not instantly, but there's a change, there's a process. Come on, let's give God a hand for the process he started in all of us. Amen. Come on, you might not be where you want to be today, but thank God. Oh, thank God. We're not where we used to be. Come on, you are an evidence. You are proof. If we had to have a court case here, you are proof. You are an evidence that people can change. Oh, yes. I've seen it. God can change people. Never write off anybody. Come on, how many of you were those people that maybe somebody wrote you off? I want to tell you, God will never write you off. We might not be perfect, but thank God we're not where we used to be. He saved us. He changed us. And he set our feet upon a rock. So I'll give you a new spirit. I'll take the stony heart of flesh out. I'll give them a heart of flesh. Romans 6 verse 4. We are therefore buried with him through baptism in death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of Father, we too may walk in newness of life. People can't change. Well, I beg to differ. The Bible says people can change. People can walk in a newness of life. Stop believing the lie that you're stuck and you're never going to get out of that pit. You're never going to get out of that hole. Your husband is never going to change. Your husband can change. With man, it's impossible. But the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. The city can change. The city can come out of religion and racism and tradition and culture and serve God. Watch, the dough is beginning to be mixed and the yeast is going. The city has to change. Something has to break. We have to see unity. We have to see poverty go. We have to see God ushering His blessing in the city in Jesus' name. Because people can change. God is a good God. He wants to save people. Psalm 51 verse 10 says, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." You and I can make a difference. You know, we saw the elections. Very few people wanted to vote because they felt my vote won't make a difference. And so we see how many millions registered, and we see not many people voted because they all feel my vote won't make a difference. The problem is everybody thinks like that. And in the end of the day, now I'm not pro any political party. As a pastor, I'm as neutral as they come. Because we sit with every political party in our church. But we don't focus on our differences. We focus on the one thing that can unite us. But I'm using an illustration. If you think your vote doesn't make a difference, and that person's vote doesn't make a difference, and eventually it's a mindset, no one comes to make a difference. It's the same with the church. It's not my move, it's the pastor's move. It's not my move, it's the real spiritual one's move. Or it's God's move. My little change can't make a difference. Your change can make a big difference. You take a stone, a small stone, you throw it in water, and you're going to see the ripple effect. Jesus says, if you have faith just the size of a mustard seed, you can do great things. You don't need a lot. That's what he's saying. Just a little bit can make a big difference. Just a little bit of yeast. A little bit of positivity. A little bit of gospel on a Monday morning in that office. You don't understand how it can have a ripple effect through the whole city. That one can tell that one can tell that one can tell that one. You can have a big impact around your world. You can make a difference. Your vote counts in this kingdom. Your message and your mouth and your testimony can create a huge ripple effect. You don't know who you're going to talk to this week. You don't know. God is with you, family. I want to encourage you. Let's not have the narrative that a leopard can't change its spots. I want to tell you, Kimberly can change the spot. That person that's refusing to come to church, that's an atheist, that's an agnostic that hates the church, they can get saved in Jesus' name because God can save them. I mean, God is into changing our names. He changed Abram's name. I said it last Sunday. Sarai became Sarah. Saul became Paul. God wanted to change the nature of the woman at the well. She didn't have a good reputation. God wanted to change her nature. Simon, you read, you're going to become a rock. You're not going to become Simon. You're going to be Peter now. In 2 Corinthians 7 verse 14, I want to tell you, you and I have a name change. You are called Christian. You're a Christian. A little anointed one. That's what the Bible means. He was the anointed one and he had an anointing. Now I want to tell you, you're a Christian if you're born again. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've made him your personal Savior. You are now a Christian. And the Bible says, like we read in 2 Chronicles 7:14, when he's speaking about prayer, he said, if my people who are called by my name. How many of you are Christians here today? You got a name change. You weren't just born a Christian. You may be born into a Christian household. That's great. But until you choose yourself, maybe your dad was a Christian, but you've got to make your own choice now. Maybe your father was a duimini or a pastor. You still have to make your own decision as a Christian. Amen. My beautiful daughters have to find their own relationship with Jesus Christ. They have to find him as Savior. And when they do that, their name will change. They will be little anointed one. Born again. You have a new name. You're called Christian. You see, people can't change by themselves. We all needed a Savior. Our nature was sinful. That's why God had to change our nature completely. He changed me. Amen. like he changed you. The Bible says when the holy touches the unholy become holy. When God touches you, you change in nature. When you call upon the name of the Lord, your nature changes. You go from broken, amen, to whole. Your nature changed. You go from being a curse, or you go from being cursed to being blessed. You go from being a sinner to a saint. I'm no longer a sinner. I identify with my new creation. I'm a saint. I'm a saint. Yes, I may stumble and fall, but my identity is in Christ now. I'm not the tail. I'm the head. I'm speaking to you this morning. I'm beneath. I was beneath, but now I'm above only. I was defeated. Now I'm victorious. I was blind, but now I see. Can you see the change, the transition? I was walking in darkness, now I'm walking in light. I was rejected, but now I'm accepted. I was a slave, but now I'm a son. I was fearful, full of fear, but now I'm filled with His Spirit, and I walk in faith and love in Jesus' name. See, Jesus saves everybody, from the beggar to the ruler. Everyone can know His love, His power, His miracles can flow through every person. Nicodemus in John chapter 3 said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform signs you are doing if God was not with you. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. This is nature changes. It may have confused Nicodemus, the intellectual Pharisee, who was a Sanhedrin, but he could have understood Jesus was not referring to only being physically born again, but rather referring to it figuratively, saying about the need to make a fresh start in life. He could have said, hey, Jesus, I'm too old to change. My way of life is so fixed, I can no more change it. Then I can return to my mother's womb and be born again a second time. It's like saying, if you say it is true, then my case is hopeless. I can't change. He realized he could not change himself. He felt he was too old to change himself. That's why Jesus made it clear. It's not a moral or a religious reform. God can't change you from the outside by your actions. God changes the heart of people. Touches the heart of people. You come as you are. You call upon the name of the Lord. It's not this heavy exam that you have to write. And maybe, just maybe, the lucky few will make it to heaven. It's about the new birth, the new creation, the new nature. Repentance simply means acknowledgement. I need a Savior. That's what God says. Hey, listen, it's your move, family. Come on, tell your neighbor. Say, it's my move. The whole world out there needs Jesus. But maybe you're sitting here today and if you're honest with yourself, your life isn't right. You're not happy. You're not at the place where you know you're in right standing with God. Then I want to tell you in the right place. I want to give every person the opportunity watching online, sitting in the auditorium here on my left, in the middle, on my right. Whoever you are here today, I want to say you're not here by accident. God has appointed this meeting for you. So quietly, while every person is here today, I want to ask everybody to just bow their heads. As we close the service, I want to give every person the opportunity to make right with Jesus Christ. While you're sitting here today in the love of God, in His presence, Christians are praying, believing. There's a stirring going in your heart. I want to tell you, God moved 2,000 years ago. He died on a cross. And whoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We can't earn it, we can't, and we don't deserve it. All we have to merely do is receive this free gift. The price was too high for you and me to pay. Regardless of culture, regardless of language, tradition, skin color, God came to unite us. You came to church today because there's a hunger. There's a desire to know the things of God. Nicodemus, this intellectual man, said, what must I do? Because he was a Pharisee, he knew the Bible, he read the Bible, he taught the Bible, but something was missing. Something was not there, and he knew it. You're sitting here today, you know God has more for you. Sir, ma'am, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit, born of the water. Today I want to give you the opportunity. I walked into a church like this. I called myself a Christian. I read my Bible. But when I came to this place of decision, it was like I knew, okay, this is what I have to do. I thank God the pastor gave the opportunity to give people the chance to make right with God. And even though it was a bit different from what I was used to, I knew God did a work today. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed. There may be one person, there may be 10 people, there may be 50 people here today. It doesn't matter about the numbers. What matters about you today? There's a stirring in your heart. It's God. He's calling you. God roep vir jou. God is calling you today to serve Him. It may be a whole family. It may be one person in that family that today makes a decision to follow Jesus. Allow me the honor and the privilege to pray with you. If that is you, just quietly, unashamedly, right there in your chair, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed. This is a beautiful moment to make a stand. Now it's your move. Why don't you just raise your hand? Just say, Pastor, please pray for me. Thank you. Slip it up high, boldly, unashamedly. Just raise it up. You say, that's me, that's me, that's me. Thank you. God bless you. Christians praying, God bless you. Hey, listen, this is a safe place. Nobody's going to judge you here. This is a personal matter between you and God today. If that is you, thank God. Once you move, thank you. God bless you. Many hands are going up. If you've raised your hand, you can put it down. One last time, you haven't raised your hand. You know God is calling you. Maybe you once served God, but you're back in the house today and you want to make a recommitment, you and your family. If that is you, just slip up your hand. Sir, ma'am, meneer, mevrou. If that is you, just raise up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Bye, donkey. You can put your hands down in Jesus' name. Family, why don't you all look at me? We're going to end the service, but we have to do one important thing. We are going to celebrate in a few moments. We're going to sing. But first, every person yet today, you've raised your hand. Maybe you didn't raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing, please. I want you to bring your personal belongings. Make your way to the nearest aisle and please come forward. Come and meet me in the front as I lead you in this prayer. The prayer of salvation. Can we all stand up, please? And let's cheer them on. Please come to the front. You've raised your hand. Come. Come forward into us, please. Come.
I'm done with the come, hiding, come. The reason to wait. My heart needs a savior. My soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again.
Just come, I want to just pray with you. Come out, nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be scared of.
My heart needs a Savior, my soul needs a friend, so I run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a Savior, my soul needs a friend, so I run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a Savior, my soul needs a friend, so I run to the Father again and again.
Come on, let's give God a hand for every decision yet today. Thank you for coming out. God bless you. Thank you, donkey. Well done. Thank you. Come on, let's cheer. Come on, COC. Come on, this is amazing on a Sunday morning. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Maybe you raise your hand online. I want to ask you to join these amazing people in front here today. Won't you, every one of you, please place your hand on your heart. The other hand, if you can raise as a sign of surrender. Just say this with me loud enough. You can hear your own words. Say, Lord Jesus, today I repent and I acknowledge that I need a Savior. Jesus, I give you my heart. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me all my sins. I put my faith in you today. Trust in you. Give you my life. I believe You came from heaven to die on a cross for all my sins. You went to hell. You conquered the grave. And on the third day, the Father rose you up. I declare, I belong to you. I'm a child of God. From this day forward, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.